This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Let's go.
You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to this week's Project Action on Podcast One, coming at you from the Polaris Razor Studio. Jim Beaver here, locked loaded with another Project Action. This will be kind of our send-off, our go-home episode. We will have a couple of more in the month of December, but those are going to be our best-of episodes because it's going to be the holidays, right? Nobody wants to come on and be a guest on this show over Christmas and New Year's, so we're going to handpick two of my favorite interviews from the year that maybe you missed, 8-10 months ago, something like that. And we're going to roll those out right here on the show the next 2 weeks. So this is kind of our go home episode, the last one where it's a brand new, fresh guest. And boy, are we not disappointing this week. If you are a fan of the WWE, you're going to be a fan of this episode. We got Mandy Rose on the show today, and man, you know, we had her partner in crime, Sonya Deville, a few weeks ago, and you know, one thing about Mandy, aka Amanda, I guess we can call her, but you know, she's just a phenomenal talent in the ring. But this girl, you know, she's got a college degree, she's an entrepreneur. Lots of fun stories from on the road with Sonya, and I am really looking forward to having her as a guest on the show. So if you're a fan of the WWE, or just entrepreneurs and rad people in general, boom, this is the episode for you today. So, yeah, Mandy Rose rolling it out. And in the next 2 weeks, we'll have some best of interviews right here on the show. So if you haven't already, please go over to iTunes. Hit that subscribe button. It helps us out a ton. I don't think you realize how much it helps us out when you subscribe. But even more so, if you rate, if you leave a rating, and if you want to leave a review, it's great. But just hit 1 through 5 stars. It takes literally half a second to do that. Helps us out tremendously. And if you do leave a review, please leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the body of the review. If I see it, I'll know you reviewed the show and that you like the show. And, you know, I'll follow you back on social media. Speaking of social media, it's at JimBeaver15. Check that out. So, yeah, Mandy Rose on the show today. This one will not disappoint. And yeah, you know, before we get to that though, you know, I got to tell you guys about some of the stuff that we got going on with our partners there at betonline.ag. And right now, we've got what's called the Sportsnet Challenge going on here on Podcast One with all of our sports hosts. And what this is it's a pick'em contest. Every week, I get to pick 5 teams in the NFL I think are going to win. And if my 5 teams that I think are going to win actually do win, and I best all of the other Podcast One hosts, you know what? They give me $500. You know what I do with that $500? I give $100 to each one of you listeners. Actually, well, not each one of you, but 5 hand-selected ones that follow me on Twitter. Another reason to be following me on social media. And that money is immediately applied to your betonline.ag account, and then you can go get locked and loaded and bet on some of the rad sports we're going to have over the holidays. So make sure and follow along. It's hashtag Sportsnet Challenge. And be pulling for me because I'm going to send you some money if I do win. And you know, it is mid-December, and every game in the NFL means that much more. All is on the line with playoff implications. And our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, betonline.ag, you know what? They allow you to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure you use that promo code Podcast One, and you're going to get a 50% sign-up bonus. Speaking of the NFL, Week 16, biggest matchups. Man, it is the home stretch. We are playoff bound. And look at these heavy hitters going head to head. Buffalo at New York, both of them going to be in the playoffs. Rams at San Fran, two of the best in the West. New Orleans at Tennessee, Kansas City at Chicago. And look at that, this weekend, the shootout of all shootouts, Green Bay at Minnesota. What a slugfest. Visit betonline.ag. Don't forget, use that promo code podcast1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And you know, everybody's got a to-do list, right? Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk, pay some bills. Here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you listening right now, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket just may be the most rewarding thing that you do today. And speaking of rewarding, you know, I'm sitting here rambling to start the show, but you know what you guys want? Yeah, you want a little interview with Mandy Rose, and right now we're going to roll right into it. I'd like to welcome my guest this week to Project Action on Podcast One, Amanda Sacamano, a.k.a. Mandy Rose. Well, welcome to the show, Mandy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was funny. They hit me up with this one and said, would you be interested? And I said, absolutely, because 6 weeks ago I had Derry on the show. So I felt like, I'm like, man, this is like the perfect follow-up to have both of you within like a six-week window.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, you got to have us together at some point.
Yeah, no, that'll be the next step, right? We'll let you both tell your stories, and then we'll get you sitting in one room, because if it's like anything like your YouTube channel, I think it's it would probably be a little bit bananas.
Yeah, right.
So that being said, what's going on? I know what does your typical week look like? Because I know, like right now, WWE just wrapped up the TLC pay-per-view. But with like the move to Friday nights with, you know, SmackDown moving off the Tuesday, like what's a typical week look like?
Yeah. You know, it all depends, but usually it's pretty consistent. Like now that SmackDown has moved to Fox and I'm on SmackDown, so my travel schedule changed a little bit, but, I usually fly out Friday morning, get to TVs, and then we kind of drive that night to get to the next show, usually a live event on Saturday, a live event on Sunday, or a pay-per-view, and then fly home. So it's a little different. And, you know, it used to be like an extra day, but sometimes every week is sometimes different. You know, sometimes we'll have a live event on Thursday nights too. So, you know, we're always on the road traveling. And then on my days off, it's only like 2.5-3 days off. I'm still training and, you know, getting all my stuff together and just, you know, keep working at, you know, what I have to do every day to, you know, maintain. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you hear like these crazy stories of like how, you know, how many hours on the road and days on the road per year and stuff. So you do, it seems like on any given week, you at least get like a day or two at home in your own bed before you have to actually go back on the road.
Yeah. Yeah. You get at least like 2-3 nights. Sometimes it changes with appearances and everything else. But, yeah, those like 3 nights are the most, like, important to me. You know, there's nothing like being in your own bed, obviously, and being on the road so much and, you know, in different hotels and just driving through the night. And, you know, it's a lot on your body. So it's like when I'm home, I can't wait to kind of just hang out and chill out in my own home and relax.
Yeah, it's funny how that works, because I'm on the road a lot with whether I'm racing or doing TV work and things like that, and it seems like the same thing. Like, you can be on the road for 4 or 5 days and literally, like, 48 hours in your own home, in your own bed. You can reset your whole body, your whole system, and it's like, all right, you can bring on another 5 days now. But it just seems like there's something about that, you know, that known space that just resets everything, you know?
For sure, yeah. It just becomes like a routine when you do it so much.
Yeah. Well, I want to kind of go back to the start and talk about, we got a lot to talk about, but really talk about kind of your path to the WWE, because like the interesting thing I think a lot of people think about or don't know is that you've actually got a college degree. I think a lot of people coming in WWE were professional athletes, and obviously you were, and we'll talk about that. But, you know, I think, it, you know, you did the college thing, you walked away with a degree, and then you went through the whole fitness industry, then ended up on Tough Enough. I mean, take us to the beginning, you know, and how, you know, obviously, you know, growing up, I'm sure you were athletic and things like that. But, you know, tell us about your path to WWE, because yours is a little bit different than a lot of people that get involved.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, it was very different. You know, I growing up, I grew up with 3 older brothers, so I was always athletic. I always played sports. I ended up getting into more, just dancing in high school instead of like the sports. So I kind of stopped all the sports and was just focusing on dance. And of course I was just always, you know, running around with my brothers and wrestling them, you know, when we were younger and stuff. But, you know, I never thought that I'd become a WWE superstar, like, ever. So, I mean, it was kind of crazy. I went on to college. I got my bachelor's degree in speech language pathology at Iona College. And I was going on to get my master's, and I didn't really get into a program that I wanted to at that time. So I was approached by a friend that said, you know, oh, you should go and compete and get into fitness. And, you know, I always worked out, but I was never like that crazy into it until I started training with a coach. And I got, you know, I really enjoyed it and really loved it because I saw like changes and progress within my body. And I really started feeling more confident and kind of like, you know, just embracing my curves and just like loving my body way more than I ever did. So I, you know, developed a big passion in the fitness world. And then it kind of just, you know, one thing led to another. It just happened really fast. I was bartending and waitressing, and all of a sudden I did a competition with WBFF, and I placed first, and I really had no idea what I was doing. You know, I just kind of like totally went out there and was just kind of like strutting. And I was taught a little bit about it, but it wasn't, you know, a whole lot of what I knew. So I kind of, that kind of happened pretty fast. And then I went on to Worlds the next year, and I became the 2018 Bikini World Champion. So that was really cool and a big accomplishment for me. And then, I, you know, I had some sponsorships, and I envisioned myself being in the WWE at that point, but never did I when I was younger. So it was, you know, it was kind of weird and out of the blue, but I was like, you know, I felt like I could definitely do that, but I didn't know how I should get into it, or, you know, what kind of path I should take or route. So it was kind of coincidental because I started training with a coach that is in New Jersey, Mike Wodango. He coached, he was trained like under Joe DeFranco, who's Triple H's trainer. So it was kind of like a weird, you know, we all kind of knew each other in a way, but he trained me more sports performance training rather than just like heavy lifting and kind of what I knew. So I started doing that. And then it was really weird, the timing of it. I got recruited through, you know, WWE for the reality show Tough Enough. So they asked if I wanted to do the show, and or at least do the tryout, you know, the Skype interview first and then the tryout. But I didn't know if that was like the route I wanted to take, because I was like, oh, I don't know if I should go through like a reality show and whatnot. So I said, screw it. And I said, I might as well give it a shot. What's the worst thing that could happen? And, you know, now look at me, no regrets. It was probably the best time of my life, and the, you know, the most, it was so much fun. It was like almost like being away at college, because I never really went away to school. So it was like, it was just a crazy adventure, and it's something that I'll never forget. You know, down the road, I'll be telling the stories about Tough Enough when I'm older. But yeah, and then the rest is history. So it's a kind of crazy path that I led.
Yeah, well, and Tough Enough with that, like, obviously you're in like phenomenal shape, but was that a little bit of a check? Because there's being in shape and then there's like being in ring shape, right? I mean, you went in and you probably had to be one of the fittest people entering this show, but how was it, like the first bumps and things like that? Had you ever done, you know, taken any bumps before that, or was it just a complete shift?
Yeah, no, I haven't. I've never taken any bumps. I never stepped foot in a ring. So, you know, of course the gym work and like my cardio was really on point. I was like, I probably was in better shape then too, just because my training was different. But like my cardio and my gym work was just like at the best that it ever was at that point. So I kind of like during the whole tryout, I smoked everyone in that. But then when it came to certain drills in the ring, I could kind of like, you know, stay, you know, I could kind of pretend like I knew what I was doing for an extent. And then there was parts of it where I was like, oh my God, no, this is such different type of training, you know? So it was a work in progress. It took me, you know, a little while, but of course with reps and then getting in, you know, signed into developmental and NXT, I kind of, you know, practiced a lot and, you know, definitely developed my craft through that. But, it was, definitely a different type of training than like your, you know, gym training and the training that I was used to.
Yeah, well, and I got to ask, too, because I think at some point in Tough Enough, I watched that whole season, and there was a point where I think Miz saved you. Is there ever since then been one of those, like, an I told you so type of thing? Or, like, not him to you necessarily, but him to everybody else? Like, hey, I told you there was something here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of, every time we see each other at TVs and all, he kind of always, he makes jokes about it and reference, like, you know, oh, if it wasn't for me, you know, you wouldn't be here. Like, he jokes around, of course, you know, that's Miz though. But he always says to me, like, he knew from, you know, from the start that I had the it factor. And he always says that, which is cool. And of course, you know, I always mess around back with him and saying, like, you know, that, you know, was it really you, or was it Vince in the background? Who was it? But yeah, so it's kind of funny. It's a little joke we have going.
Yeah. Well, and through this whole process, you met Daria, a.k.a. Sonya Deville. I mean, and you guys have become best friends. But how was that meeting her? Because I think you guys first kind of met each other there in Tough Enough, and things just kind of clicked, right?
Yeah, it's so weird. The first time we met, I mean, she tells the story great, too, because we were like, it's so funny. We're similar because we're from like the same, you know, the Northeast, and we have these like similarities the way we grew up and all. But we are very different, of course. So like, when she first met me, she thought that I was going to be this, like, you know, B-I-T-C-H and just stuck up and like whatever. And she didn't know me because she just, you know, and I get that vibe. I get that vibe from people. They think that I'm like that until they start to talk to me, whatever. I'm used to it. But she, you know, just said like, what's up to me? Like, oh, how you doing? Whatever. And I just looked at her and I was like, hey, good. How you doing? And she was like kind of taken back. So like, and then we kind of just started talking. And once we got, we both got picked for Tough Enough, we like just hit it off and we were like best friends since day one. It was really weird. We just like got along really well. And you know, and then ever since, of course, you know, we lived together in NXT, travel together, train together, just, and we still do, you know, today. So we're just really great friends. And we're really lucky to have each other too. Cause we, you know, have each other when it comes to, you know, things that we want to talk about and we don't want to talk to anyone else about. And we're just, you know, we have that good camaraderie, which is awesome.
Well, you know, and one thing I love about, you know, WWE is they take, you know, athletes and people from all different walks of life, and somehow they create these characters and these personas, and everybody's walked a different path to get there. You know, if you're a pro baseball player, a pro football player, I mean, everybody's pretty much walked the same path, but WWE, it's complete different. And I look at somebody like you, and I mean, obviously you've got the fitness background, but I mean, there's things like even speech pathology, you know, and I'm sure that helps like in talking with the kids and, you know, and things like that. I mean, you know, I think, you know, your background and your skill set, I mean, it's completely different than everybody else's. And I think, I mean, how has that helped you along, especially, you know, in this journey to the elite level you're at now?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I feel like we do all have different paths that we've, you know, led to get here. But I'm actually very grateful with like everything, you know, my whole vision of where I thought I'd be, like, wasn't, of course, where I thought it was going to be. But, you know, it actually benefited me because of my experience at school and developing, you know, the bachelor's degree in speech language pathology. I always loved working with children. And that was, you know, my big clientele that I worked with when I was in clinic and even like older, you know, adults as well. But I did love always working with children. And of course, it's like full circle because now with WWE, we do so much with charity organizations and Be a Star rallies. And we do a lot for the community and a lot with younger kids. So it's kind of cool that I get to like, still experience that, but also have this like sports and entertainment side of me, which is something that I've always been involved with as well. And you know, I never forget like where I came from. Like my dad owns Italian deli. So like I worked in the service industry for a long time and I was behind the counter, you know, slicing cold cuts and socializing and trying, you know, and also bartending and waitressing at the same time as well, which was cool because that really taught me how to like kind of like be social with people because I was a little shy when I was younger. But of course, like, you know, I came out of my shell and I learned a lot from that though, because you meet a bunch of different types of people and you kind of you put yourself out there a little bit more and just become more sociable, which is cool. So I just feel like it's my path has definitely helped me like where I am today, of course, but you know, my experience has molded me too to like be a better superstar and a better person in this community as well.
Yeah, well, and you know, you talk about that, and it's funny because you talk about how you were shy, and I'm like, most people watching on TV would have never thought, oh, Mandy's shy? No way, you know? And like,
this, I know.
This part of you look back, and I mean, you've had like these crazy storylines with the Usos and things like that, where you look back and you're like, man, I am a far cry from the shy little girl I used to be.
Oh, yeah, and that's like when my dad watches me on TV, he's always like, you know, people come into the deli and ask them, like, you know, what, oh my gosh, like, what is, you know, she's so mean and this, and then he's like, I know, that's not my little girl. And, like, of course he hates it. But I'm like, Dad, don't worry. It's okay. But it's funny. He gets it now. And he's, like, my biggest supporter. So it's good.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's what's funny, too, with pro wrestling. You know, it 3 months now, you can do a shift. And then all of a sudden, you'd be a complete different person just with the way the business works. And that's what's fun. You get to try on all these different masks, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's a lot of fun. It keeps us, you know, ourselves like entertained and you know, keeps us going.
Yeah,
keeps us on our toes.
Yeah, so tell me about the NXT experience, you know, because we got through Tough Enough and now all of a sudden you're in NXT, and you know, NXT is where you really kind of start putting everything together, and you're working with people, you know, there that now you're working with on the main roster. And I know NXT's kind of shifted now where it's kind of you know, it's its own main roster type of thing, but you know, how was that whole process? Because that's where you're really evolving, you're turning into your character and things like that, you know. How was that process? Because it's like, all right, now I made it, I'm on solid footing, I've got a contract with the WWE, but now I really got to put in all the work.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, that, and NXT isn't easy, you know. I mean, the schedule is grueling, you're traveling too, you're going to shows, and you know, you're learning, and you know what it is too, it's a lot of pressure, because it's like you're learning, but you're also trying to own your craft and really, like, you know, develop your character. And that's like the most important in our business. You know, obviously the wrestling is really important, but it's how you know, how you can engage with the crowd, and you know, whether they like you or they hate you, it doesn't matter, you know, as long as you're getting a sort of reaction. But, and that's the hard part, because you do have a lot of opinions, you have a lot of different coaches and a lot of people that are really out for your best interest and really want to help you succeed and get to the main roster. And, you know, but, you know, you do get a lot of different opinions. So, like, the biggest thing for me was, like, you know, listening to everything and kind of, like, taking it with a grain of salt and, like, you know, trying to just kind of go through the motions, but also, like, feeling what's best for yourself, you know, because your true character and your true personalities and all that will definitely come out when you have a little bit of when you're, like, authentic and like real about it, because it'll come out the best, I believe. So I think, you know, you yourself know yourself the best. So I think that was the biggest struggle with, like, a lot of us too in NXT, but it's a learning process, and it's a lot of fun. It's a great experience, but it could be stressful as well.
Yeah. Well, and then all of a sudden, you know, you put it all together. How does the call come that you're getting called up to the main roster? Because, I mean, everybody at some point, you guys know, hey, I got to be getting close, you know. When's it going to come? I mean, how does that call come across? How do they let you know you're getting the call up? And then not only are you getting a call up, but you and Sonya, you get to align yourselves with Paige. And, like, to me, you go to the main roster and Paige is on your side. That's like a big endorsement, a big statement of what you guys have done, because she's, you know, universally a fan favorite.
For sure, yeah. It was so weird how it all happened. You know, we never thought that, because Sonya and I would tag together. We'd actually face each other. We'd, you know, we worked a lot together, but we were never really a tag team in NXT, like on TV or anything. Like, I had one match in NXT, on NXT TV. And, you know, Sonya was a little bit more on NXT, but I didn't even work that much on TV. And we just, you know, getting that call, we had, like, little hints that we were maybe, you know, coming to TVs. We didn't know what we were doing. Nobody told us anything. They kind of, like, put us in a room and, like, waited till, like, an hour before the show to tell us what we were doing. So, of course, you can imagine the, you know, freaking, like, how, like, nerve-wracking it was, and how we were, like, we were coming up with every different scenario we could possibly think of, like, oh, maybe we're doing this, maybe we're doing that, maybe we're, and it was hilarious. But and then finally when we heard what we were doing, we were like, what? Like, what a cool debut, you know? Like, I mean, I would have never thought it was going to be like that. And it's kind of cool, because it's like full circle with Paige being, you know, on Tough Enough, and kind of, like, she kind of always doubted me, and, you know, on TV, and, you know, we were good friends though, of course. And it was just really cool for all of us. So it was a cool debut for sure.
Yeah. Well, and how was it when you guys turned on Paige at one point, you know, and it was just like, you know, that had to have been really funny too, because you want to talk about coming full circle, and then it's all of a sudden, you know, you guys kind of have that turn, and it's like, we're on our own now.
Yeah, exactly. It was. Yeah. I mean, like, of course, you know, things didn't go as planned, and, you know, accidents happen and all that. And, but, I mean, as far as, you know, I think eventually, no matter what, you know, Sonya and I will have to go on our own. And like, you know, like we said earlier, you know, things are always changing in our business, but, it was kind of weird. Yeah. And, you know, we miss her dearly, but we see her here and there, which is good.
Yeah. So talking about that, I mean, you know, obviously right now, you know, I know you've kind of, I mean, at some point, you know, you've got that women's title in the back of your mind, but I know you guys feel like you probably have some unfinished business with this, women's tag team championship also, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're the most deserving and kind of long lasting tag team in the women's division, to be honest. And, we definitely deserve a shot at that. I mean, we've given a couple opportunities, didn't work out in our favor, but, you know, it's always on the line. And of course, you know, the SmackDown Women's Championship is always, in our eyes as well too, you know, so it's only the beginning for us.
Only the beginning. And, you know, I got to ask you too, because one little thing that's happened through all this, and I think it was kind of by mistake, but how did this whole Demandy's thing get started? Because you guys have this crazy YouTube channel. I mean, you've even had GSP of all people pop in, and now you guys are doing not only donuts, but food. I mean, how did that whole thing get steamrolled? Because, you know, you guys have this amazing wrestling career. And now all of a sudden you guys are YouTubers, right? Content creators.
Yeah, we wanted to build our YouTubes and kind of come up with like a creative way rather than just doing what a lot of people do. And we're such foodies. We love to eat. We love going out to nice restaurants, and we love donuts, of course, too. So we came up with this. We had this like kind of silly video that we did in NXT. It was at Krispy Kreme. We were like dancing, and like we noticed the fans really liked it, and it was cute, and like it showed another side of us outside of, you know, wrestling. So we were like, why don't we go every, you know, when we got to the main roster, we're like, why don't we go every city we go to, we find the best glazed donuts, and we track it, and we, you know, post the videos on YouTube. So we kind of just like started it, and then it kind of just like took off, and it became like this little hit. And now, you know, we have our own website and merch, and eventually we want to have a brick and mortar, a donut shop. And you know, it's all about, you know, building our brand and expanding for what we have. So it's been a lot of fun. It's really cool.
Yeah. Do you guys get like all kinds of crazy, like donut shops from across the country, like reaching out and DMing you like, come by, try out our donuts.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Actually, we do get a lot of places asking us, like one recently, I forgot exactly where we were, but they had a whole film crew like ready for us. It was like a donut truck one. It was cool. And they did like all our editing and stuff, which was really cool. And their donuts were amazing. So it's cool because they see it. And then it's great advertising for them as well, you know?
Yeah. So I got to ask one story that I think came out of this whole thing. You guys dropped one recently on some cheese curds in Wisconsin. So you guys legitimately ended up in the wrong town at one point.
my God. So
for people who haven't watched that video, you got to tell the story, because like, I start laughing because it's something I totally would do, and I've done things similar, but not quite 2.5 hours away, like maybe an hour. But like, how did this whole thing happen where you guys literally end up in the wrong town?
Well, in our defense, I mean, it was really funny, and we got kind of heat for it for a while because they were all laughing and making fun of us, because it was one of our, you know, beginning, one of our few first shows. But there was the same arena. It was called like BMO Arena or something. I forget exactly, but there was two arenas, the same name. And I think, I don't know if it was Green Bay or I forget, but we were at the arena that we were supposed to be the next day for TV. So I guess in our app, we liked the, with the directions, I don't even know how it happened, but like we're sitting there eating cheese curds, posting on Instagram, and no one is telling us that we're in the wrong city. Meanwhile, you know, 2.5 hours away from the live event, that the live event is starting in like an hour or no, like, I don't even know what it was. And we were like, oh my God, we jumped in the car. We drove, like, I don't even know how we even ended up getting there. It was a 2.5 hour drive, and we end up like running in. We made it for our match, and everyone's like, "Where were you?" We were like, "But like, we like saw like half of them watch our Instagram story. Like, how come no one told us?" Like, we're sitting there eating cheese curds, and no one's gonna tell. And then we pull into the venue when we, you know, figured it out. It was, and the one of the our guys was like, "You guys are here early," and we're like, "Oh no, like 7:30 show, right?" And he's like, "No, tomorrow." And we were like, "No." You know, like that feeling you have, yeah, when people look at each other. We were like, "Oh, no, we didn't."
That's one of those. Well, at least you got so it out bad of your system. And it, you're like, that's never going to happen again now. You probably double check every time you put an address.
Like, we triple check that shit. We're like making sure the address is right. We, oh my God. It's bound to happen, I guess.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, you guys must have just been pinned to make it to the show. I mean, that was one of those, like, saying a prayer you don't get stopped by an officer or something. Like, wow.
Oh, my God. I know. So bad.
So,
oh, gosh.
Yeah, so you guys have demandings going on. But I want to ask, too, before we let you go, you got, you've kind of become a little bit of an entrepreneur. You got quite a bit going on. I know you've got an app going. You've got a skincare line. I mean, kind of tell us about, like, these side gigs you've got. Because a lot of people, you know, wrestling's enough. You, it's like, no, we're going to set stuff up for the future, you know? I mean, you know, how did you kind of get into this whole entrepreneurial thing?
Yeah, you know, definitely like to set myself up and make sure, you know, I don't have all my eggs in one basket, because you know how that works. And I loved, you know, fitness was my first passion and first love, and I continued to, you know, be so in, you know, involved in it. So I created this Fit with Mandy app, it's called. It's basically this first program I created. It's a 12-week at-home program where you can basically like do it anywhere. And I designed it for like all different ages, skill levels, you know, males, females, just so it's like a lot of stuff I do on the road if I can't get to like a good gym or I can't get, you know, around good equipment. So it's like a lot of high intensity interval training. So it's cool. And then, yeah, the skincare line is fairly new. It still hasn't launched yet. It's been in the works for a while. And this is another thing that I'm very passionate about as well, because it's all about, you know, taking care of your health and body. And for me, on being on the road, you know, in the beginning, I struggled a little bit because that flying on planes and hotels and just, you know, the different climates and stuff, it's like your skin changes a lot. And I never really was like a strict, like, I never had like a really strict skincare routine, to be honest. I always like, I had pretty good skin. I never really complained, you know, it was fine. But since I started traveling, I noticed, I was like, wow, no, I need to get on like a good skin routine. So kind of experimented with a lot of different products and figured out what I would, you know, want to sell to people and make sure I, you know, love it. And I really do. It's a whole kit with, you know, cleanser to toner and, moisturizer and a serum and an eye gel. So I'm really excited. That'll be launching hopefully in February. Yeah, it's really, it's exciting things. You know, I love being involved, and and I love, you know, I want to build an empire. So it's, I got to start now, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think too, like with the way you're approaching it, it's a little bit different, because a lot of people, you know, they become in the public eye and, you know, they start getting crazy endorsement offers, and you'll see somebody with some product and, you know, they don't really use it, and, you know, it was just kind of a cash grab. But with you, you've kind of taken the opposite. It's like, no, I'm going to put my name behind something, but it's actually going to be mine. You know, and I think there's a bit of an authenticity that go with that. And I think people, it's a lot easier for people to buy in and believe it, you know?
For sure. Exactly. And I've done a lot of stuff, you know, other endorsements and stuff like that too. And I know that, you know, sometimes it does get, like just oversaturated, and like, you know, you don't know if people really do use it. So that's why I wanted to like make sure I tested the products and actually used them for like a good 5-6 months and make sure I really do love them. You know, if it's something I'm going to be selling and promoting to, you know, to people. So that's definitely really important.
Yeah. Well, and I've heard, I don't know, I didn't research it enough, and this is bad podcast host here, but I've heard rumors. So you guys may be doing like a nutritional donut type of thing too, right? That's kind of an oxymoron there, but you and Derry, are you guys kind of getting into the donut world a little bit?
Yeah, we're definitely, you know, our end goal was always to have like a brick and mortar down the road. Gary and I, we always talk about that. So like, you know, down the road, we really want to have our own donut shop. We want to kind of like create our own demanding donuts. And we're at the Olympia this year, and we kind of like had, we partnered with Chef Andre Roche, and he like made us a few different recipes, and the donuts were really good. So like, we want to have a different variety of them too. We want to have like healthy ones, but we want to also have really good tasting ones as well. So that's definitely a goal that we've had, and we're going to get there. So little by little.
Yeah. So you get a little bit of time off over the holidays. I know WWE, they give you guys a little bit of a break, but not too much, because I know they do a lot of things for the troops overseas and things like that. So what's the holidays look like for you? You going to get any time at home?
Yeah, actually, I do have a little time off. I'm going to be going, it worked out well being we're in Brooklyn this Friday for SmackDown. I'm going to just kind of stay in New York, because I grew up in Yorktown Heights area. So I'm going to stay in New York from Friday to Christmas, and then I fly out the next day, after Christmas. So it'll be nice to get some time home. I'm not really looking forward to the cold, to be honest, but looking forward to seeing my family.
Definitely. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. Lots of fun catching up, Mandy. Like you said before, I don't know, maybe at some point I'll reach out. We'll have to get you and Daria on at the same time. I think that would be definitely be a good time.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Well, Mandy Rose did not disappoint, that's for sure. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that interview. You're a pro wrestling fan, even if you're not. I think there was something for everybody in that interview. Good times. Thanks to her for coming on, and I think we are going to have to get her and Sonya Deville same time on one of these shows. That would be some fun. So I'm going to work on that, and maybe that's a January thing of next year. Maybe right around Royal Rumble time, I think. That could be fun. Anyways, you know, we got my show going on. We got a lot of shows on Podcast One Sports Net. And, you know, we're deep into this year's NFL season, and everyone wants to know who will be coming out on top. Am I right? Well, then you need to check out the one podcast and get you everything you need to know about the biggest games and analysis in the NFL postseason. I'm talking about the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Ross played 7 years in the NFL before retiring, so you know he's got the insider knowledge that you want. Be sure to check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast every week on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and many of your favorite podcast listening apps. And once again, big shout out to Geico and our friends at betonline.ag. Don't forget, use that promo code PODCAST1. It'll get you a 50% sign-up bonus. Yes, hit us up on iTunes. Hit that subscribe button, and please leave a rating or review. Follow me on social media at JimBeaver15. Love to follow along and let you know what's going on in my holidays, and love to hear what you guys are doing for the holidays. And reach out. You got any guest suggestions, anything you'd like to hear on the show? I absolutely always like, getting hit up from you guys and, finding out who you'd like to hear from right here on Project Action on Podcast One. So next 2 weeks, we're doing best ofs. Hopefully you guys do that, because I think we're going to bring back some interviews that maybe you hadn't heard in a long time that you're going to really, really enjoy. So, I guess I am going to sign off this week. I am headed up north to Minnesota for Christmas, and I will be, probably playing in the snow, making some snowmans, doing some sledding. I don't know. We're going to have some wintery fun, because right now in Arizona, I don't have any of it. But hopefully you guys have a great, great Christmas, a great holiday season, and we will see you back with fresh content right the first week of January right here on Project Action on Podcast One.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug, but I ended up connecting to the world around me, a world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventures pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.